Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Many of us grew up with the carols, but some we didn't have a chance in our early days. But it makes you appreciate the Lord all the more, I think. We'll sing some more, these awesome hymns of the Lord, or carols, especially because carols are called carols because they happen. We traditionally sing them at the time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. In its very context, part of the triumph of the most triumphant life ever in history, part of the story of the journey of the Hebrews, of the Israelites, that Moses was a type of the Lord, and then all the types are fulfilled as we honor the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the things that struck me, and it's important that even this morning we had a chance to baptize someone special. It was wonderful to see. And those watching us on the web, also some may be new to the walk with the Lord. So you heard people blowing the shofar, giving a big shout. And it has deep meaning that we don't want to just accept it at surface level. Well, their custom is to give a big shout. Because as you walk with the Lord, especially if you have a chance to have ministry in your initial days, you'll find out some of the facts that we'll talk about this morning, that it is a delight to be able to say Merry Christmas. And what it says is Christ Jesus has triumphed. And as we celebrate all the things that go with this event, we have the three wise men often. I enjoy receiving a lot of the cards. For me, the majority cards either is about Mary and the baby, or it's about the three wise men. Now, three, I don't know why, because I guess it's because there are three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these gifts were either given, they were priestly gifts, or they were kingly gifts: the gold, frankincense, the myrrh is to do with a priestly office, but it's also what they used to bury someone. And so we gave a big shout, and I was so glad, because I remember when the Lord called me officially into the ministry. I hadn't been the traditional thing. I was graduated from a Baptist university, and it was wonderful to take all those courses, especially in the Bible and history. Benjamin Netanyahu recently was asked, if someone wants to be prime minister, what would you recommend that they prepared themselves? He said, read history. Especially read Bible history. That his father was a great authority on history. And he was grateful that they focused quite a bit on the Bible as history. And that he said he, that prepared him more than anything else to be the prime minister of Israel. But we practice this today, and I'm glad, and I would congratulate the family and bless them. It is in Corinthians, it says, as the children of Israel were released from captivity and slavery, that the Lord brought them to this place in the Red Sea, and they found their way blocked, and they were terribly in consternation and fear, because they're going to be now trapped and going to be destroyed by the army of Pharaoh. There was no answer. And then suddenly, God himself provided the answer. And he did what no one could have done. He divided the Red Sea. And Moses declared, "Behold, the salvation of the Lord." And he brought them out with silver and gold. There was not one feeble. And then it said, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And these are all types. For us in the New Testament then days, we see what they practiced. The results were always God was exalted, and they came into victory. But I remember there were some of the first ones who came in the major charismatic revival that we had a part to play in it, that there were many broken people. And even now as we look at society, so many who have gone through a trail of brokenness, of drug addiction, or some other kind of addiction, whose lives have been damaged, some have been victims of divorce. So all this list is long. Then I've found out we would lead many, many people to the Lord. But we came to a situation where a lady was very, very, very broken. She had gone through a divorce, and what I didn't realize was in her heart and fear and rejection, she allowed a lot of oppressions in. And it was an open door to all kinds of demonic forces. And we prayed for her, counseled with her. It seemed to have no effect. And just as a by the way, I said, well, let's do the full package for you. We need to get you baptized in water. She had never been, since she believed. You will remember a question in the Bible. Have you been baptized since you believed? No? Well, we need to get you baptized. So I want to put this in context. This is a great season. I love it. But I want to make sure that one of the major truths we don't want to miss is Christ is the main star of Christmas. Jesus Christ, our Lord, does something that no one has ever done. And we find that beginning in Genesis that it says, the Lord in it says here now in Genesis 3, the Lord makes clear some results of the fall. Adam was affected, Eve was affected, but one of the major onus that the one who was at the root of all the trouble was Satan. And in Genesis, it says the serpent was the major villain of this whole scenario, where they had to break, or the devil, the serpent, convinced Eve and then Adam to follow his word rather than the word of the Lord. And so it brought death, in a sense. The breaking of the word of God damaged them severely. So God judges, but he judges more than anyone. I mean, of course, Adam is judged and Eve, but the one he focuses on is the serpent. He says, you're going to always, you're going to be crawling on the ground, and I have put enmity between you and the woman and the fruit of the body, her fruit. So there was always a permanent break between the serpent and the woman and the fruit of the womb. At Christmas, then, we say, It says in Isaiah 53, here is, we've been talking this last few weeks, so I love every aspect of it. But we see the babe has been born, and here is the scripture for Genesis 3:10. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We have to put this in context, because this is very much apropos. This is the season to realize the full picture. How each of you today and always, this is truly, I used to think, and now if I would ask most of you, so what is the greatest event in the Bible? I would have said the resurrection. And on one level it is true. But it begins way at the beginning. Before anything began, he did our work, the work of deliverance before the foundations of the earth. And it's hard to comprehend. What do we mean? It begins when this woman who is pregnant and has to make this journey for the population listing for taxation, and Joseph and Mary come to the inn. And at that time, it is time soon for this young lady to give birth. And so we see in Isaiah it says, you know, I mean, just look at this week. Pay a little bit of attention on Isaiah 53. Because we, later on, and we discuss it during the year, but we don't focus on it that much during Christmas. And yet, each of you, like I said, it affects you completely. Your eternal fate is changed and transformed into victory and triumph because of not just the one who was crucified, died, was buried, and resurrected on the third day. First, we have to go by the way of Christmas. Here is where the culmination of the prophetic word that was spoken in Genesis, I'm going to put, there's a curse on you, serpent. And you're going to crawl on your belly. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the fruit of this woman's womb. And the amazing thing has happened. That part, this babe that was born in Bethlehem, we have all the accoutrements around it. Love talking about the three wise men. And love talking about the stable. And there was no room in the inn. And how so many people were impacted. And yet, it's the big fact is this. We find that connected in Isaiah 53. It says he's despised, rejected by men, men of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. Now, the light gets brighter. We see, in a sense, you are involved in this event. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for Mahesh Chavda's transgressions. He was wounded for Michael's transgression, wounded for Katie's, wounded for Hank's. All of you here today, he was wounded for your transgressions. And he was bruised for your iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So that's why I said it affects all of you. We are all born in sin. And the Lord says, for all of that, I have provided the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful answer in the history of the galaxies. Jesus, the Son of God, born a babe on Christmas Day. Traditionally, we honor that day. The fact is this, that he grows up, has a wonderful ministry, and when the time comes, he's ready to yield himself. And the thing that we have to realize in this also is that there is an important reason Mary knew no man, but the Holy Spirit power came over her, and the Lord himself did something glorious. So, as we think of how the baby is born, the baby, because as you look at pregnancy, the blood of the baby never mixes with the blood of Mary or the mother. It's unique and amazing. The Holy Spirit, from the foundation of the earth, that determined the Lord would take the iniquities of us all. So he is the Savior. That's why I really felt this week, and I love every aspect of Christmas. I love the garland. I love the greens. I love every little bush that we see, every little depiction of the Christmas tree or the color of, oh, by the way, I was going to show you. This was the my gift. Remember, I told you about it. And it says, this is my Hallmark Christmas movies watching shirt. And when it came in the mail, I think some may have missed it, but I would advise those people. I wish I was the communication agent for Hallmark, because a letter came, very sweet, saying, "Dear beloved customer, you are such a valued person, and we want to use, here is the gift." And so instead of celebrating and dancing, my husband has gotten a gift from Hallmark. This lady swoops up on me and says, "When have you been ordering all these movies?" I said, "I just want to assure you, I have never, ever ordered one Hallmark movie." She says, "Then why do they say it?" Right here, look at this letter. "Dear valued customer," obviously.
"Thank you for all your purchases."
Yeah. Yes. And I said, this is a mystery. So you can always go to the Lord in prayer, because He will answer your mysteries. And I kept saying, "I did not order anything. I did not know." Well, here's the proof. And found out, by the way, that my daughter, one of my kids, Anna, she's a brilliant, brilliant young lady, and was working in counseling the asylum patients, where you could see in the silence of the lambs. That's a real asylum. And for some time she served, and she was a favorite of many of those people. Anyway.
Yeah, she was the caseworker for the criminally insane that were permanently incarcerated in the state institution in Virginia. And in fact, in that building was where they filmed the movie The Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
That's what she did.
So, but she lives in Vegas right
now. So she has always had a heart for those who are in need of particular...
We digress.
Yeah. You know, Mahesh, I want to say for Dakota Landstreet, who was baptized today, that act is a revolutionary act. It is a demonstration of coming up out of the grave. And the thing that I think of and that I was thinking of is at that moment of the deliverance, not just from Egypt, but from the power of Egypt, from Pharaoh's army, from slavery, from poverty, from death, and the revelation of God Almighty. And it was the first victory dance recorded, of course, in our Bible and in the history of Israel. And it would have been a million or so women with the trill. You've heard it often in some of the African cultures, the Middle Eastern cultures, and they would have been doing that trill with their tongue, and with the tambourines dancing and shouting glory, and in a way, a foreshadowing of Mary's Magnificat that was to come much later. But that sound is the sound of heaven today, and specifically the atmosphere for Dakota. And so we're always thrilled to get to experience these moments, because they're not just for the individual that is coming out of the waters of baptism, out of the grave, but they're also a demonstration for the whole church, for the whole earth, of what Christ has done. And it is a type of birth. The mikvah, which we get our water baptism from, was something that the Israelites would celebrate when they would enter a new and significant phase in their life. And the idea is that you enter in again, if you will, into your mother's womb in the water, and then come out, born a new person, a new creation. And so there are a lot of parallels and comparisons of even water baptism with the Christmas story and the story of the birth of Jesus.
And that it's one of the great triumphant declarations. There are several reasons. And they're all wonderful. But when the apostles went out, they would preach Christ, but in that they would never fail, saying, what do we do? Now you have told us about Jesus. And Peter, the first apostle, gave about the word publicly. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So I remember the way in the early 70s when the revival swept across the nation, but a fresh way of being able to see beyond separating things that were just tradition. And so the tradition became so powerful, was made powerless. And in the anointing, in the Holy Spirit outpouring fresh, we saw afresh, this word is true. And the Holy Spirit enlightens you. So you see, this is not tradition. Something is happening. So when I was with another man, I was counseling this young lady who had gone through such suffering and devastation, but she would get constant, horrible depressions. And we were praying, but could not touch that. And I said, well, why don't we? Somehow, I believe the Lord dropped it, saying, we need the whole package. And when I just, as you are here, when I say whole package, I mean repent. That means you have repented of your sins and you were going in one direction. Now you're going in the opposite other direction, which is following Jesus, following the word, obeying the Lord and his word. So that we took the young lady and my friend helped me as we baptized her in water. I thought I was just going through ritual. She came out and she was completely delivered from that oppression that she had had for almost 15 years. And the demonic power left her. And I said, duh. And as the years went on, I realized. And then Bonnie and I experienced this adventure in the waters of baptism, but it was all proclaiming the name of Jesus in a lot of the African countries that had been untouched because of dictatorships that would not let evangelists from other countries come. And somehow the prime minister's wife got totally healed and he got healed and delivered. It'll be quite something when you sit at the prime minister's office and he says, Brother Mahesh, I have this problem and I have this. And I looked at him and said, respectfully, prime minister, you are loaded with demons.
And that makes me think of the story of Naaman, the great general of the Syrian king that was essentially the man responsible for Israel's defeat and Syria's being able to keep them continually under tribute. And when you're mentioning Governor Kilolo, I thought of General Boteti, who was Mobutu's strongman. He was the guy that Mobutu leaned on for that terrible era of dictatorship and robbery from the riches of Zaire in the Congo. And his favorite wife, the newest one, was barren. And she came to get prayer. And literally the next year, he met us at the airport to show us his son that had been born by a miracle. And that really came in handy when I got arrested by the secret police and was hauled in for interrogation. And as I was fighting with the officer over whether or not I would allow them to take our camera equipment, and I had pulled a little sneaky and had taken all of our tapes out of the equipment on the way to the interrogation cell and had put empty ones in the cameras. And finally, I said, okay, you can have the tapes, but I want you to take me to General Boteti. And when that name came out of my mouth, those African men turned my color. And they took me in an open Jeep with two Uzi armed military personnel to the compound, razor wire all around it and all of that kind of stuff. And eventually General Boteti came out on the veranda and looked down and saw me and knew that I was the wife of the man that had worked the miracle that had given him his son. And I saw him from a distance berating his military guard. And sure enough, they let me go, let our crew go with our equipment. And the only thing they ended up with was blank tapes. But I want to say something a little extra about Christmas and about this time, because there's something that has been more real to me in this season as we've been beginning to wallow in Christmas and hover around the glory and light and beauty and the traditions of Christmas. There's an aspect of the Christmas story where its joy and its light is actually because of the intervention in the deep darkness, political tyranny, oppression and poverty and abject slavery that was common to the whole world and to human society at that time. And I was going to say, you know, the first person to receive Jesus, you know who it was? It was Mary. She was the first person to receive Jesus. Think about that.
And it was an amazing miracle
She would have been 13 years old. You think about that for a moment.
That's a little premature to get married.
No, not in that day. And by the way, your own mama, her arranged marriage, watch out, she would have been somewhere in that
time frame.
I know she is, waiting, but I'm just saying, in the Eastern
in heaven,
traditions.
There are several people I meet, you know, at certain times, I need more wisdom. But I've made jokes. I made jokes about Mother Teresa. I mean, I very good heart, but I remember people, you know, they used to put those cloths on people. And we would get, everybody would be baptized. I mean, we'd get zapped in the Holy Spirit, be falling down, and they would be pulling clothing. What do you call that?
Draping cloths, I think, is kind of their religious term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got so irritated because they mostly were hindering us from moving anywhere. So I took as many as I could to put them on me. And once you have draped your head, you can pretend to be Mother Teresa. So I would give people a choice. Do you want me to pray or do you want Mother Teresa? And most of them chose Mother Teresa, so I had to put that thing on my head. And sorry. So I needed deliverance too, I realized, over the years. But I did want to finish this, that General Botedi and the Prime Minister, we needed to realize thousands had given their lives to the Lord. And I had not done. Years later, that word of the Lord came to me, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So I said, these thousand, at least I need to give them a chance to get baptized in water. And so we got permission. Most people would not get permission. There's a border between Kinshasa and Brazzaville. It's a two different kinds of Congos, two different countries. But I was given officially permission by General Botedi and the general. So that's where we arranged for the baptism. And I had about 150 pastors helping me baptize all across that part of the Congo River. And that's where I told Batiti, he said, you got to take my soldiers. And I said, no soldiers, we don't need machine guns and all that. He said, that's part of the law here. I said, okay. So as I stepped into the Congo River, several logs opened their mouths. And I realized, these are not logs. These are crocodiles. And so the soldiers started shooting. And I said, oh, Lord, they're killing people. And they were just scaring away the crocodiles. So I walked in, I think I've told you before, and wearing a brand new pair of, Nikes, yes, a brand new pair. Very proud of them. Stepped in the Congo River. The Congo River accepted my Nikes as an offering. They sucked up both my shoes. And so we were busy on that part. On the other part, I mean, it's extended. 150 pastors baptizing. On the extreme other end, I found the story later. Because if they had asked my permission, I would have said, no way. But there was a completely crazy person, lady, like a Gadarene demoniac, screaming, living in the forest, when she saw these people going onto the water, she thought they were swimming. So she ran up to the shore and said, I want to swim. So the other pastors on that side didn't even ask her one, hesitate one moment. You want to swim? Come on in. And that, as she got into her water, up to this level, they took her by both her arms. We baptized her in Jesus' name, brought her out. What I had never thought would happen. They just wanted to quiet her. But the glory of the Lord came and delivered her completely. And she became sane and later restored. She went to school. And about a couple of years later, two, 3 years later, I was taking a plane from Kananga to Mujimai. And they're all internal cities. And this lady came up with hot tea and a snack. And she looked out at me and smiled. She said, Pastor, do you recognize me? I said, no. She said, I am the lady who was the demoniac running around and sleeping in the forest. And I got totally restored at that baptismal service. So God did. But realize it. Number one, it works everywhere. So may you today, as we are refreshed in the miracle of the Christ, at Christmas as he grows up then and ministers and has that unique death. That this baby had destiny to save each of you and everyone hearing us on the World Wide Web, that it's because of Christmas and the Christ of Christmas that makes you totally confident, absent in the body, present with the Lord. The Lord himself has taken the punishment for our sins. So realize, have a revelation. And I talk quite a bit about revelation. But it's because you become one with the truth. And it is your truth then. You possess it. After our horrible experience at that time, but the glorious experience of seeing our oldest son in the most horrible pain, and then the golden light coming over him in the hospital. And the Lord took his pain and healed him of terminal kidney disease. And from that time on, and of course we saw many other things at that time, but no one could take away from us this truth. We went through the horrible thing, but came out in triumph and in victory. And as you believe in the Lord, never forget. May the Lord give you long life. But there will be a day that you get a transfer from here to the eternal realm, to the glory realm, the heavenly realm. Jesus died, suffered, took our iniquities and our sins, and by his stripes, it says, we were healed. So, the Bible says, it pleased the Lord to lay on him the iniquity of us all. So, we have to give him our trust. You don't have to ever be fearful of the shadows of death. I've gone through a couple of times like this. And you'll find that you'll have, as you're convinced of the truth that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Redeemer, he took your sins and helps you heal. This, it is just, there's a principle. Given it shall be given unto you. So we give, but there's always a return. The return is blessing and restoration. It's the most important event I wrote in my notes as I was meditating on this. Even though I would have said previously, resurrection is the most wonderful event in history, I would amend it that it would at least be both the birth, the Christ, and we would never have had the forgiveness of sins if not had that baby who grew up to be Christ, our Savior.
And that moment was the beginning of the full circle, the promise of God being manifest from way back in Genesis 3, and where in the cursing of the serpent and, you know, God basically prophesying all of the difficulty and travail that's going to come on the earth as a result of what happened there in the garden between the man and the woman and the serpent shutting God out and going their own way. He says, his first promise is to the woman when he says, your seed will crush the serpent's head. And so there we find thousands of years later, which to God can be just a moment. He's right on time. and absolutely committed to finishing what he began. And all of history comes together in that little girl's prayers. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me particularly this year, with the global pandemic, with so much revolution and unrest in so many places around the world, with this generation of Americans, probably not since the 1960s, being in a time of tremendous upheaval and social unrest and divisiveness, danger in many ways, at this time of Christmas, I think about Mary, and you know, we have sort of traditionally thought of this timid, little soft-spoken, you know, little girl. But the reality is, she was the most courageous person on the face of the earth in that moment. Because what Israel was expecting was the one who would come to overthrow the political power of the world that had their people in opposition, in oppression. And what I would like to say is, when the angels came, and remember what angels are. Angels are there to announce the intervention of God, and they are basically these mighty creatures of war, of power. So an angel comes, and that's very significant, and says, "Blessed are you, highly favored. God has chosen you." And so you think, well, why did he choose her? And I want to submit to you, because of her courage. Because of her courage. Because when she said, "Let it be unto me," yes, it was an obedient statement. But principally, it was in the face of recognition. That's why it says she pondered all these things in her heart. She kept them in her heart. It was because she recognized that this was that turning. The last time the Jews had any victory over their oppressors was the Maccabean Revolt, which is not in our Bible. It's in the silent time between Malachi and the Gospels and the birth of Jesus. But in their minds, the last time historically and nationally they would have had political victory and their religion would have been demonstrated, their faith demonstrated as true, would have been in the Maccabean Revolt, which we just celebrated in Hanukkah. And now, here it is, the ultimate fulfillment has come to this little 13-year-old Jewish girl, who is legally, by the way, considered married at this moment. So all of the language, not like Western marriage, but she was betrothed, she was engaged, so a legal contract had been written. And now, under the Jewish law, for her to show up pregnant would have meant that, number one, her father and family would have been shamed and they would have rejected her. She would have been taken to the temple in public and been shamed, and the priests would have pronounced over her a curse for committing adultery. And you can read, it's a terrible thing. They were made women that were accused by their husband. It was a public shaming. And they were made to drink the water, the ashes of the red heifer mixed in water, which was a purification thing, with a curse being pronounced over them. And if the woman had committed adultery, then you had to wait through this period of whether or not a child was going to be born from this illicit affair, so on and so forth. This was a major, major event in this young girl's life. Absolutely stunning for her and for her family. And you think about, why did she go to Elizabeth? Because the family knew that Elizabeth, by God and her husband, had conceived a miracle. And so now Mary was among these women in the history of Israel, but only she knew it, that the angel had said the one to be born of her would be that Messiah, that ruler king who would come to overthrow the kingdom the kingdoms of the world and lift up Israel out of its oppression. And I think about Mary, the reason for going and staying with Elizabeth was that confirmation there that she would have received, and possibly to hide from her family for a moment the possibility that she was pregnant. And then you think about Joseph, when it says that he wanted to put her away quietly. He had decided that rather than put her through that public shaming with the pronouncement of the curse over her and the whole community turning against her as an immoral woman, this tragedy that would have happened, he decided that they would just break the contract in private. And perhaps even in that context was why she ended up going to Elizabeth's house. And I wanted for us to think in a more whole way about this dramatic event that surrounds this Christmas story that we celebrate with softness and little lambs and all of that. This was an incredibly dangerous, difficult, profound moment in the history of the world, the human race, of Mary, of Joseph, and of Israel. And, you know, when she comes into the house and she sings the Magnificat, well, even in modern times, the Magnificat was banned in India under the British rule. And in the 1980s when Mahatma, when did India get its sovereignty?
1948.
Mahatma Gandhi had them read the Magnificat in public. Also in the 70s and 80s in Guatemala, in Argentina, during the military junta, the whole event of the daughters of the revolution, all of the mothers whose sons had disappeared, Mary singing the Magnificat was such a revolutionary thing. It was banned. Still, to what I'm trying to say is Mary's song is considered so dangerous to governmental tyranny because she says in it, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of the Almighty's servant, and all generations from now on will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. And she says, God has shown strength with his arm, scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. And so on and so forth. And for that reason, even up until the 1990s, in various places where people have risen up against tyranny and oppression and evil governments, Mary and the Magnificat have been their battle cry.
So one of the, it's not just, of course I agree that she had tremendous courage, but the other thing, you just wonder, what a woman, a woman who believes the word completely, is that when the angel comes and says, bless you, highly favored one, and she wonders what is happening. But the amazing positive thing about that is she has faith to believe everything the angel is saying. It's not like, well, let me wait for a few months or next year maybe we'll do this. She says, be it unto me according to your word. Now that's may the Lord give us the grace. May you have the anointing and the refreshing to claim and the Lord's, the word. There are several promises, amazing promises that are important for us at this time to cast out fear from us, from anxiety and loneliness, and say, this is the blessing of the Lord. He is with me. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And in the context of Christmas then, we want to realize and have the revelation, so you take it, possess it, is that the receiving of the Lord Jesus, he becomes and is today your Savior, your Lord, your Commander-in-Chief. And it could not have happened without resurrection and conception. Of course, conception came first. And the baby, because of the conception, there is the baby. And as you receive and have received this one as your eternal Savior, this is the greatest present.
Thank you.
That you can ever receive.
Thank you, Jesus.
In your life.
Yes.
Because, again, absent in the body, present with the Lord, you have eternal life. Congratulations.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Yes.
So,
amen.
Today, I want to officially receive, and may you officially receive, the fact Christ is risen. He's risen indeed, we say. The baby.
Yes.
In Bethlehem.
Yes.
With the angels shining brightly. Amazing. I so get so inspired by the fact the biggest light show ever was in celebrating the birth of Jesus. And the angels were part of it, and they didn't care that the poorest people in that region were the shepherds, and yet they got the best light show ever in history. The angels themselves shining forth, and then the archangels coming to Mary and saying, here, this is the word, this is the prophet. Rejoice greatly, favored one. And you're going to get in trouble, but this is a blessing. And indeed, it truly came to pass.
And so Christmas speaks to us again, and it speaks to us in this season in a very specific way about assurance in the promise of God, about courage in the face even of danger and opposition, and most certainly about the light of Christ bursting forth in the midst of deep darkness. And these are our reasons for celebrating. Selena, who's watching online, said something that's really brilliant. She said, God allowed him to be unwrapped on the cross.
That's true.
Thinking of the gift, that's really, really beautiful. Beautiful way to put it. And he continues to be revealed to us.
So the first Christmas package was wrapped by Mary. And it was the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes that changed and transformed every life at present. And we want to see also finally this in the present, that there are, at that time there is Herod, but that spirit is still around and would crush our faith. Many states right now trying to make official that you cannot meet, some states saying 5 or 7. And they're really basically in some states are commanding that you cannot or you should not travel to go see your children, or telling children, grown children, they cannot travel, commanded by the state to go see our mom and dad and show them the grandbabies. No, no, no. It's no, no. And basically they're finding in so many places that these are just tactics to make you scared. And each week, each month, more and more freedoms, if they can, they want to do it, and they've taken away your freedoms. And the enmity, as the Lord said way back, I put enmity between you, the serpent, and the Messiah, the Lord, or the fruit of the woman, and the serpent is still slithering around. And the first thing that, if you'll notice, if I've been reading various sources, but it's, they will leave certain things alone. The demonstrations, if you burn buildings, all that is fine. You won't. It's church gatherings that they're coming hard on. And so it's quite interesting at this time, realize you are going to be anointed, you're going to be alert, and you have believed on the Lord Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And it says of him, because of the promises from way back, the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. And that young lady said, yes, I will do it. We needed someone like her. And she said, yes, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And so I want to reiterate for each of you, and this is more an individual transaction, that one day, doesn't matter what day it is, there'll be a day that the Lord said, this is, the time has come for a transfer to, from glory to glory, you're going to be promoted to the greater glory. But at that, we will not fear. It'll be an awesome event. The Word has become flesh. And then I would remind you, the promise, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so we would not die, but live eternally, have eternal life. That's a wonderful aspect of Christmas. So I would say, for us not to miss all the other things are wonderful. The food is great. The exchanging of gifts is great. Blessing your children and letting them know about Christmas, even if there is an overweight representative from the North Pole flying around saying, scaring people, kids, and saying, ho, ho, ho. And anyway, he doesn't. What is wonderful is the greatest package ever wrapped, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so this time, this Christmas, as some of the previous Christmas, I am determined not to miss Jesus, who is the true promised one. Amen, Lord. And, I mean, you can think of those who miss Christmas. Innkeeper was one of the first ones. And he said, oh my, this is one of the biggest oopsies of my life, that I should have opened my... Do you think that this... I've gone to, on my life, I've had to go to many, 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 many hotels. And never has any hotel said, we are totally full up. They can, if you are a paying customer, they will find a room. Not so the innkeeper. Only thing I have is that stable. And of course, the other person who misses Christmas is Herod. He had ulterior motives, and he was going to see. In fact, he could have arranged for killing Jesus. And it's an awesome time, once again, to celebrate the Lord. Make this time be as noisy as you can, and as loudly as you can. Sing the songs, the Christmas carols. Let there be miracles and signs and wonders. As my Father, Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. It's awesome. Awesome. So, as we unwrap the greatest gift that each of you basically has received, is Christ. who was wrapped in this package. And you can unswaddle the swaddling clothes. But the wonderful Magnificat just assures us this is your promise and mine. Hallelujah. I am so blessed. You are part of the army of God. You are part of the believing army of God with signs and wonders, because this Savior Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. So we receive afresh the Lord and all his blessings.
Amen.
Salvation is of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.